Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by the hardest working person in all of sports infotainment, Denise Alcedo.
What's up? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Second week of an early start. How has the second week been?
The second week was a little harder than the first. So the first week I woke up at about 5 a.m. And for the most part, I did my hair. I had plenty of time to do me and do it at a nice little pace. Today, I woke up at 5:45, but I didn't actually start doing anything until maybe 6:15. So by the time the show is almost going live, I was running late. I tuned in I think exactly 7 a.m. into like our
show. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like click, 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 go. But it was because I fell behind. I fell behind because I had a big pimple on my face and I was putting a bunch of makeup to try and cover it up.
Oh, no. I mean, I would never have noticed it if you hadn't have pointed it out.
Well, thankfully, the lights like diminished it a little bit. So
was that
it kind of blows it out a little bit, but you can still see it. It kind of looks like I have like a dot on my face.
Well, let's get into the show itself. We're talking about Christian Cage's debut in AEW and whether or not it was a bit of a disappointment. Here is the show. Get you dancing a little bit. I am in a terrific mood today as well. I'm feeling really good. I've done a lot of filming for my next Actually Good video. The new Rob Zombie album dropped today.
Oh, nice. I did not know that. That's not in my realm of worlds, but you know what? I'm cheering you on. What do you call Rob Zombie fans? Like, do you guys have a name?
No, we're just cool. That's what we are. We're
just not like zombies.
Cool. No, we're the just zombies. Cool kids. We're
oh,
cool
okay.
Kids that like Rob Zombie. So I've been listening to that while writing up some of my D&D character stuff. And of course, it is my 5th anniversary of making videos for WrestleTalk. 6 years ago today, I made my first video guesting on an episode. And here, in fact, if you haven't seen it, because I did share this on Twitter earlier, but if you haven't seen it, here is 6 years ago, the debut on WrestleTalk of Luke Owen.
Hello and welcome to WTTV News. My name is Luke Owen. I'm the deputy editor of FlickeringMyth.com and I'm filling in for the next few days. Coming up on today's episode, Samoa Joe confirms WWE negotiations, Kurt Angle set for a push, and former WWE announcer speaks out, and more.
And I'm still wearing this t-shirt. I've changed over my t-shirt, the same t-shirt I was wearing 6 years ago today.
Luke, you can't do this to me in the morning. I'm in shock right now. I can't bounce back from that. First of all, how do you look younger now than you did, 6 years ago?
Shave the head. Like that, like the comb over really aged me. And yeah. shaving my head actually really did like de-age me.
You look 10, 15 years younger now than you did in that video. Yeah, I think you kind of had like the creeper vibe going in the other video. I'm the guy who's going to come out in a beret and a cane and a little bow tie and those coattail jackets. And I might like rob you while you're trying to jump on the subway. You had like this very, I don't know. Like, what do you call like bad dudes in London? Like, do you guys have like a name for that? Like you look like a villain. Like you just needed to put on like the coattail jacket and all of that.
Dude, like it was, I've lost a lot of weight since then as well. Like that was in some of my more fatter days. Yeah. And losing the hair like really did help. Cause it looks bad, man. I shared it on Twitter this morning and virtually every message I got back was like, dude, what was up? What were you thinking with that hair? Cause I held on to that for a while and it was no good. I got married with that comb over.
Oh, she loves you. That's how you really know. If she married you and you feel you were your ugliest, she loves you.
Oh, yeah. She certainly does indeed. Anyway, right. That's all of that stuff out of the way. Thank you so much for getting up in the morning with us all here. I know it's very early for you Pacific timers, but we are here to talk about Christian Cage. Now, the reason why I wanted to bring this up on today's video is we got four different questions in the mailbag about this. Like four different people wanted to reach out with their thoughts and their disappointment. And some people, you know, did say it was disappointment. Some people think that AEW overhyped. So to catch everyone up, last week, Paul White on Dynamite said, we've got a Hall of Fame worthy signee coming to AEW at Revolution. And because this is, you know, in a post CM Punk leaving WWE world, everyone instantly thought, oh, it's CM Punk. Like, cool, it's CM Punk. CM Punk is going to debut. We had messages last week being like, if it's not CM Punk, I'm going to be disappointed. When the sort of the CM Punk thing died down, a lot of people were like, oh, it's Brock Lesnar. Like, it's Brock Lesnar. It's going to be like, Brock's not back on WWE. It's going to be Brock Lesnar. The other people, like, it's going to be Dave Bautista. There were some people who even thought, oh, it's going to be John Cena. Like, it has to be John Cena. So all of these names were bounded around. Other names like Kurt Angle and Foley were name dropped. But I think when Dave Meltzer reported, Christian's not under contract with WWE, I think a lot of people thought, oh, actually, it could be Christian. And when it was Christian that came out, the reaction we got on our live stream was, that's disappointing. Actually, I don't know why you hyped that up. That's overhyped and underdelivered, which is weird because like Christian's, everyone loves Christian, right? Like everyone thinks that Christian's ace. Like there was always that support for Christian should be in the Hall of Fame. Christian should be. Why isn't Christian in the Hall of Fame? He should 100% be in the WWE Hall of Fame. So then he comes out as a Hall of Fame worthy signing and people are like, that's only Christian though. Like what are you getting hyped about Christian for? I was like, you wanted him in the Hall of Fame like 2 minutes ago. Not the Rumble. Everyone was super excited for him to be back in the ring. Comes to AEW, nah, he's washed up. What are you signing Christian for? So like, I wanted to get, what were your thoughts on Christian signing?
So first of all, and here's the thing is that we obviously went into in depth to this prior to the announcement, you know, ahead of AEW Revolution. And we talked about who were potential people that realistically could be it. And then we even talked about the unrealistic signees. And I think that all the names that were along the lines of Batista, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, really were from the start to me out of the realm of possibility. When these names started being thrown around, I really didn't understand why people necessarily thought these people were coming in, right? But when it came to CM Punk, that one was where I did think, okay, there's a realm of possibility that this may be happening until he shot those rumors down. And we even talked about that here last week, right? So I think I'm going to say maybe like by Thursday, Friday, prior to that week, I think a lot of those on the wrestling community and social media could have already guessed that it was going to be Christian. I know there was a teaser video that Kurt Angle put out. So there was a little bit of that, maybe people thinking, oh, it might be Kurt. I know I thought it was Kurt. I know I wanted it to be Kurt. And so here's the thing, though, is that, look, unfortunately, I don't think AEW did their very best in terms of introducing Christian Cage into this new world, because I have to 100% agree with the way Paul White introduced Christian Cage. He said he was a Hall of Fame worthy talent. And I do 100% agree with him on that, because one of the things that I immediately said on my post show following the Revolution pay-per-view was, look, from like what, 2005, 2008, he really was having some, his time in TNA really could be compared and pinned up against so many different people. Like he was doing the best work of his life. Okay. Very different, obviously, from his time in WWE, you know, with Edge and Christian and all of that. Very different. So that does, you know, considering what he did with WWE, considering what he did with Impact, that does qualify him as a Hall of Fame worthy talent. Now, Tony Khan did take it one step too far, where he started saying, I think it was on the Unfiltered, AEW Unfiltered podcast, because I get, you know, they send out those quotes, right? And they have like four little quotes all the way down at the bottom. I see this quote from Tony Khan that says that they signed the biggest star out there, the biggest star. And I'm thinking, what? Like, okay. And then when I go on and, you know, listen to what people are saying on social media based on that, and, you know, obviously the wrestling community, along with every other fandom, very deep dives into quotes and little things. So when someone says stuff like this, people are going to really decipher it word for word. So I do think that Tony did overhype Christian Cage. I think he made it seem like it was going to be someone that was going to totally change, you know, everything. You know, come back to that one statement that he made a while ago about changing the landscape of wrestling or something like that. He didn't say that this time, but it kind of fell along the same vibe. And that was very unfortunate, because it really did set up Christian Cage for failure. And one of the things we also discussed about last week was we said that no matter who it is, some people are going to be more excited than other people. And I will tell you this, when I was watching the show, my fiance was way more excited for Christian Cage than I was. I felt I had to get myself excited versus him watching. It was like, oh yay, like I knew it's Christian Cage. Okay, confirm it's Christian Cage. Cool, etc. So no matter what, like, you could be a fan of someone, but because of how it was set up, there was going to be, you know, a little bit of a letdown if it wasn't somebody that was, you know, CM Punk or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this was a case of perhaps overhyping and underdelivering, whereas like the Golden Room is usually like underhype then overdeliver. And I think you're doing it on a pay-per-view, having the, you know, the Hall of Fame worthy thing, like you said, that Tony Khan quote of like, you know, he's one of the greatest wrestlers ever and stuff. And I'm sure Tony does believe that. But I think it also, this is, you know, these are wrestling fans. And, you know, one of the first questions we got from Reese was like, Punk is still able to walk, is it possible for any company to promote a surprise appearance and not have fans crap all over it when it isn't CM Punk? And I really think that is the case. If I'm a wrestling promoter now, like having seen the last 5 years since CM Punk left, I'm never teasing there's a surprise appearance of someone, because instantly everyone's going to go like, oh, cool, it's CM Punk then, right? Like he is this sort of like mythical name that is always, he is the answer to that question every single time. And then it isn't him. And then people are like, well, that's disappointing because it's not CM Punk. We had like every live stream we did of like TNA for a second, then every live stream we did of AEW's first year, everyone at the end of a show, people were like, CM Punk didn't debut. That was a terrible show. Like I was expecting CM Punk to debut and he didn't. So that's a 0 out of 5 show for me. And bringing in Christian, I think, as some people are saying now, oh, now it just feels like TNA 2.0, like being compared to TNA is a bad thing. Like TNA was a great company in the early days. So I just think like, is there any chance that a company can promote a surprise sprint without people like fans, not just, you know, not taking away the Tony Khan thing, but fans like us overhyping it ourselves?
I don't know because look, yeah, some people were reaching when saying Brock Lesnar, but I wasn't convinced that it was going to be Brock Lesnar. I'm sure weren't convinced it was going to be Brock Lesnar. I think sometimes there's this big misconception that because, you know, maybe some people are saying something online, you think everybody's thinking that, but that's not always the case. Like there are some people that are going to stay within, you know, what they think is just to whatever is happening. They're not going to go all out on a limb, you know? So I don't think that. However, it is going to be a thing, I think, for quite some time still, where people, no matter what, are going to assume CM Punk. And even when he said it wasn't him, you know, I even came on here and said, well, if it is
that's
him,
what you would say.
Yeah, like that's what you would say, right? So I like didn't believe in myself. And I don't know where this comes from. Like, I don't know why me and maybe some other people are like this, where you think, okay, well, there's still the possibility. I think no matter what, we always have like this hope, right? And I think now hopefully people stop. But then here's the thing too with CM Punk. If people stop talking about him and stop expecting him, isn't that a bad sign for him that people are finally over it? They're done. Like, don't they say, like, if people aren't, I don't remember the saying.
You say that, but I think he'd be thrilled. Like, I think CM Punk would probably be thrilled if people stop wishing it's him. I don't know, man. Like, I think he's the sort of person, he's quite happy. Like, he's clearly just very happy to have walked away from wrestling. But we as wrestling fans be like, we didn't say you could walk away. You haven't walked away.
Right.
We didn't, but you walk when we say you walk. Like, now you're still coming back to AEW.
Exactly. Like, I always wonder if like part of him has ever thought about coming back, but maybe because he was so persistent on the fact that he's not, that he doesn't want to be proven wrong. So like, if he comes back, people will be like, ha, we knew you were going to come back. They always come back. Yeah,
because Jericho added in another comment, over the past couple of days, I've seen a lot of people down on Christian joining AEW because it wasn't CM Punk. This incredibly frustrated me, since I believe Christian is not only a future Hall of Famer, he's also a huge signing for AEW. I think if it was Punk, it would have potentially overshadowed almost everything AEW is doing. In addition, I think there is a group of wrestling fandom that cannot and will not let Punk go, when he has mostly let wrestling go. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Regardless, I look forward to what Christian will do in AEW. Are you excited for what he could do there?
First of all, I didn't see this quote by Jericho. When did he say this?
Sorry. That was a Patreon mailbag we got in from someone who was called Jericho.
I was like, what? He said this? I didn't see this. I was like, what? Wait, was this?
Sorry, I didn't even think of that.
was the fan's name Jericho in their
Jericho username? Yeah, that's their username.
I thought Jericho said this. Why didn't this pop up on my timeline? you had me freaking out for a second. I was like, I feel like I should have seen this.
I should have been clearer.
Okay, well, now this has a totally different meaning, because I thought to myself, well, this is Chris Jericho saying this. Okay, well, now I don't even remember the question. Okay, but he basically asked if CM Punk would overshadow the AEW roster.
Yeah, would CM Punk have overshadowed everything?
No, it just would have added to the hype. I mean, look at everything that happened this past weekend on Dynamite. I mean, it was a great ending to a great show. Does it overshadow everything? No, there's still other great stuff people are interested in. I came out of last week's show thinking, oh, I'm hyped for this. I'm hyped for this storyline. I'm hyped for that. So I don't think so. I don't think that it would have necessarily overhyped everything. But then again, at the same time, I mean, overshadowed everything. But then at the same time, the explosion dud did overshadow the entire pay-per-view. So maybe I'm wrong here, but that was overshadowed in a bad way, not necessarily in a good way.
I think it says a lot as well. Like, there were a lot of reports that came out, at the time, you know, at the arena and things like that. Meltzer wrote about it in The Observer today, but Maki Ito got a bigger pop than Christian did.
Good for her.
And absolutely good for her, because she is the best. And I think that is because apparently a lot of people in the building figured it was Christian. Like, they'd caught wind that Christian was there. So they were expecting me, like, oh, cool, that's confirmed it. But Maki Ito was a genuine surprise. Like, no one had Maki Ito down to be the surprise replacement for Rebel.
Did you see Dave's tweet that day about the Spanish commentary and what happened with that?
Yeah, because Ethan Page came out.
Like, I don't even know who does the Spanish commentary, because I don't obviously watch the Spanish commentaries. So I haven't even been looking at them, but I'm thinking, how on earth do you make this mistake? Like, what is happening here? Who's doing this job? I mean, that just to me seems like a big, like, if I'm watching on the Spanish feed, which by the way, I almost accidentally purchased on BR Live the Spanish feed. I didn't even realize that. I just clicked like on the first AEW Revolution little icon that I saw. I didn't even realize it was the Spanish feed, and I almost purchased that. So I thought, I was like, wow, imagine I would have bought it. I would have already had the scoop, but we did it. I forgot what I was going to say. Basically, like, it sucks for those people, though. If you're watching the show and you're all excited, even though most of the people already thought Christian Cage, and then they get their answer. And then also, you know what else surprises me? And I was going to mention this earlier, but I might as well mention it now. Renee Young's podcast, Renee Paquette, when she said, hey, Christian basically said that when they made his announcement on Dynamite, he hadn't even signed yet.
Yeah. He had not put pen to paper at that point. Apparently, according to the chat, it's Dasher and Alex that do the Spanish commentary. Alex Abahathes and Dasha Fuentes do the Spanish commentary.
I feel like they would know.
I know, that sounds like a sort of mistake they wouldn't have made, to confuse Ethan Page with Christian Cage.
Tony Khan, brother, I speak Spanish and English. Hire me, I can tell. I can't do play-by-play, but I can tell Ethan Page and Christian Cage apart.
Come on, there are like 20-odd thousand people that watch this show. Every single one of you should be adding Tony Khan on Twitter, being like, Denise Salcedo is available for commentary. Come on,
she
man.
She speaks Spanish, I mean, etc.
It does mean you'll have to go to Florida, though.
Commentary, so no.
And it also means you have to go to Florida, which I don't think you're massively keen on.
No, I don't want to go to Florida.
We had a couple of other messages, like someone sending like some fancy booking of what they would do for the Christian Cage debut. Someone else sent a message in. But Philip O'Reilly, I found this one interesting, who says that we make him and his 8-year-old son Liam's week. So that's very nice. This is their favorite show.
I was supposed to do this last week, and I don't know if this person's still watching, but happy birthday to Keenan Currington. I had this sitting here for a long time, and I've been needing to wish him a happy birthday. So thank you for that reminder. That was last week, though.
Philip says, do you think people would have been more excited if Christian hadn't returned at the Royal Rumble, and this was his official return to wrestling? Do you think like that would have, like the Royal Rumble return kind of like diminished this return potentially?
No, I think maybe if anything, it got it talking a little bit more, because there's always those people thinking, well, he was just at the Royal Rumble. Why didn't WWE offer him a contract? Was there drama there? Was there not drama there? You know, it gets people talking. And after Royal Rumble, I tweeted out a picture of that moment with Edge and Christian. And it was my most popular tweet. So like when you were mentioning right now how like some people were like, oh, whatever, it's Christian, we're over it. I'm thinking, what is going on? You guys were all crying your hearts out and being so like, oh my God, over this moment. And now Christian Cage is like the villain and whatever, which I feel bad because it really was not his fault whatsoever. You know, it's just a guy signing, didn't think that all this was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was an interesting note from Meltzer in the Observer this week about the ratings, because both shows were down this week, essentially, from what they did, last week. AEW, I think, you know, they expect there's going to be a pay-per-view bump because it's a post-pay-per-view show, but like the Shaq number was, that Shaq was clearly a difference maker in the ratings last week, and he writes, AEW was way down in viewers, almost the same in the 18 to 49, even very strong in 30 to 35 to 49. They lost all the older single home viewers brought in by Shaquille O'Neal last week, but were stronger than last week in 3 of the 4 key demos. NXT pushing Finn Balor versus Adam Cole and Io Shirai versus Tony Storm should have been a big improvement over last week, but they were actually the same in viewers and down in the key demos. The key takeaway from this is the first TV appearance of Christian Cage appeared to mean nothing for the ratings. But for NXT to do what they did with Balor versus Cole, who are both major ratings draws for the company in big matches in 2020, their numbers are worse. So Christian Cage, you know, came in with a lot of pomp and circumstance, but it did nothing for the ratings.
Oof, this is bad. Where are the people at? Where are they? What are they doing? What do they have going on a Wednesday night? This is interesting too, because NXT, for me, I'm thinking, okay, they went in with these two, promoting these two big announcements, right? And for the most part, everybody could figure out what those announcements were going to be. There were just a couple of options, you know, it didn't really seem like it was going to be anything too crazy. But still, nonetheless, two big announcements were promoted, two championship matches were promoted, two real, you know, pretty big ones. Unfortunately, I think that besides the I don't think that the Io Shirai Tony Storm match had the momentum going into this match that I thought it should have. It didn't feel that special. Adam Cole, Finn Balor, I think that everybody kind of already knew what they were going to get from that. So maybe that's why not as many people were interested. I don't know. And then I'm thinking AEW Dynamite. I'm thinking after Revolution. See, here's the thing that maybe, like, you know, a lot of people were upset at the outcome, right? And thinking like, mm-hmm. Well, they failed us here. But at the same time, don't you kind of want to know how they're going to bounce back from this? Don't you want to know what's going to happen with Christian Cage? Like, there's still a lot of questions that needed to be answered following Revolution. And even though, you know, I was bummed out at the ending, I mean, obviously, I'm going to still tune in because I want to know what's going to happen, etc. So it is pretty interesting to me how they didn't have, you know, a nice rating after this. It really does suck. And it is telling. And then also when Christian came out and, you know, just went face to face against Kenny Omega, I wasn't necessarily hot for that. I was just like sitting there, no reaction whatsoever.
I had the exact same thing. We had a hyper chat in on the AEW Revolution review show that said, like, what do you think Christian's first feud is going to be? Do you think it's going to be against Kenny Omega? And I was like, oh, it's not what I would do. Like, so I think that paints bad optics. People already, like, there is a vocal portion of people who just hate AEW and hate everything they do and want them to fail because for whatever reasons, but also they have this optic that, oh, they just pushed the ex-WWE guys, right? So you bring this guy in that a lot of people think is already a disappointment, and then you do put him in that sort of main event position against Kenny Omega. I don't think it painted it in a particularly great light. If it's I said this in the Dynamite review show this week. If it's a TV feud, I think that's fine. If it's the double or nothing main event, then I don't think that's great. But I get the feeling that it's not going to be the double or nothing main event. I mean, Nick Kitchen sent in a hype chat today to say, I love Christian. He smashed it in TNA, and I've no doubt he'll do a great job at AEW. He definitely is a Hall of Famer, and I could see that it would have been overhyped. Who do you think his second feud will be now that he's going after Kenny first?
I don't know, because I was honestly thinking that he would go in an entirely different direction. I actually thought that he could be more of that person similar to Chris Jericho, because let's be real, Chris Jericho can't go at a certain speed anymore. And I think, well, we haven't seen as much of Christian yet, but I'm assuming that he can probably go at a faster speed than Jericho right now and can still probably go, you know, with a lot of different talents. I actually thought, and I tweeted this out last night, I would love to see like Christian Cage versus Scorpio Sky, something to help, you know, elevate these talents that are, you know, almost there. And Scorpio Sky has been almost there for such a long time that I think a storyline with somebody with the name and respect of Christian Cage would be fantastic. One of the other things that I put out there was I would love to see a six-man between Kenny and the Good Brothers versus Kingston, Moxley, and Cage. That would be a fantastic usage of him too. But doing Kenny Christian necessarily at the moment does not have my interest. I think if later on, I don't know if anything can happen, right? If, you know, in the next 2 weeks, I think it's the hottest feud out there, then you know what? Great for them. Good for them. I'm excited about that. I'm not necessarily going to trash it just because I'm not excited about it right now, but it does sort of seem like they went into this right away. And if they do this match, it's definitely going to be very telling of Christian Cage down the line, depending on how this storyline goes, on how the match goes, etc. But I also do think right now, given how everything went down at Revolution with the dud, the failure, the explosion thing, mm-hmm. all of that, I almost feel like right now AEW literally has to put like their best of the very best. Exactly, because right now that stench is still in people's minds, and I know it's going to take me like a tad to forget about it. And you know, I even said this, like when I was watching Raw, every time a pyro, firework, anything happened, I thought, boom, AEW Revolution. Yeah. It just went straight into my brain.
You see, apparently, like, there's some people who are now thinking that the Fiend Orton match could be an exploding match. They could do, like, because, like, the majority of WWE's viewers aren't watching AEW, so they're not going to know that AEW did it. Plus, if they do it and do it better, it's going to make them look even worse. So, like, you know, not doing the Firefly Funhouse instead and doing an explosion match I think it actually, it's a ballsy thing to do, and I don't think it's the worst idea either.
Look, at the end of the day, I think to myself, if I'm a rival company and my rival fails at something, I'm going to be petty enough. And if I got money and I got that, you know, big D energy, I'm going to be like, hey, you know what? Screw you, pal. Yeah, I'm going to do my version and it's going to knock yours out of the water. Because think about it. They're rivals, okay? They're not going to be like, oh, well, I'm so sorry this didn't work out. Don't worry. We won't do anything like that. It's not going to happen. This is, you know, money's on the line. Viewers are on the line. So if they were to do something like this, I mean, everybody would be talking about it, and let's just hope that there is no failures, because then that's it. That match would just be cursed.
We've got a couple more hyper chats to do, and then we'll do the Patreon mailbag. The Fizzard said, CM Punk is one of the most innovative wrestlers of all time. However, this desperation to get him back into wrestling has hurt the business more than it has helped. I think I could sort of see what the Fizzard is saying there with that one.
I wouldn't go as far to say that it's hurting the business. Yeah. I wouldn't go that far.
What else have we got here? Brett J. Rasmus, I believe that AEW did hype up the debut very well. Christian is a Hall of Fame worthy wrestler. He is a big star. I think we all worked ourselves into thinking who it would be debut. I lost my mind when it was Christian. Also, congratulations on 6 years, Luke. Thank you very much. Dragon Death Cab Khan is correct that Christian is one of the best of the last 20 years. He lifted TNA into respectability for several years, proving himself as a main eventer. He can be anywhere on a card, and that card is already better with him on it. Which I think is also a very interesting point.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But let's dive into your Patreon mailbag questions. If you want to support this podcast, if you want to get your most question into the mailbag, all you got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at any dollar amount. Label it mailbag in the community section. Do not email me. I will just lose it. I'm bad at my job. And please label it mailbag. I spied a few of you this week just posting things in there without mailbag. I don't know if it's a mailbag. I don't know if you want us to answer it. It just looks like you're leaving a comment. So label it mailbag. Jonathan Hedman.
You yelling at the people because you're like the nicest person to yell at someone. I can't ever imagine getting in trouble with you. You'd be like, Denise, I'm very sorry to tell you, but your performance was not good today.
Denise, I would bust out the, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Oh, this would feel like an episode of Full House.
Jonathan Hedman said, good appropriate time of the day to you both. Hope you're well. I think the most important question we should all look for answers to is, will there be Adam Blamplate merch? I'll watch later after work. I'm sure there'll be merchandise. If there's enough call for merchandise down the line, maybe we'll get some Blamplate.
CC Ollie Davis to make sure to give Denise, what do you get? Like creative, what do I get from being the creator? Do I get some income?
Surely
like,
how does that work?
Like residuals. Yeah, exactly. Poor person here, CC Ollie Davis. Give Denise money for her creation of Adam Blamplate. And well, actually, I don't know how that would work because considering that it's Adam's image.
I was going to say, does he get residuals for it? I mean, I don't get residuals for the t-shirt that's got my face on it. I just get paid at the end of the month. But I didn't get residuals for a per t-shirt that I sell.
Okay, see, no, you need to find out. You need to go. And
Denise,
I didn't to find out what's happening.
I didn't have a t-shirt for years. Everyone got a t-shirt before I did. Like the running gag that we had was like, oh, whenever we came around to like new talks of merchandise stuff, I was like, oh, don't give me a t-shirt because it's really funny that I've never had a t-shirt. Like Ollie's had like multiple t-shirts, Laurie's had multiple t-shirts, Pete's had multiple t-shirts, and then I just never got one. And we were like, oh no, I think we should just keep it as a running joke that Luke never has merchandise.
That's
and then eventually.
So mean.
And then eventually I got one.
Wow.
It's pretty good. People bought it and I like it. Dwayne the Gronk Johnson said, are there any games or songs that you guys really like that a lot of people really hate? I really like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but I'm aware that a lot of people don't like the game. Are there any games or songs where you've had a similar experience? Now, this might be difficult because you don't play video games, but there are any like songs?
I play mobile games. Do those count?
Well, actually, I mean, yeah, I mean, a lot of people really do hate mobile games. So yeah, you might be onto
a winner really?
For that one.
So I've been addicted to this one game and I really hate it. You know, I bought, this is getting ridiculous. So it's Design Home. And I told you about it. It's where you design homes.
Yeah.
But the game is so like, they like to charge you an arm and a leg just for a couch. And I'm thinking, this is a game. Why am I poor in this game too than I am in real life? Like, that's not fair. I'm poor everywhere. Like, give me a break here. Well, anyways, in order to get like the furniture to design my houses, I need to get diamonds, right? Well, the diamonds go really fast because each like furniture piece costs a lot of diamonds. So I ended up buying a 1-year subscription to Vogue.
Oh my God.
To get
Denise.
Diamonds.
Oh,
I bought a $25 moisturizer cream to get diamonds.
Stop.
And I downloaded 10 apps so that I could get diamonds. It gets worse. And I bought diamond packs.
This is how they get you. You're
but
a whale.
They don't give me diamonds. How am I supposed to play?
Because that's what they want you to do. They don't give you the diamonds on purpose, so you spend real world money. It's a scam. Mobile games are a scam.
On this app,
dude,
already.
I know, dude. I totally hear you what you're saying. Because Simpsons Tapped Out, it's an interactive coloring book. That is what it is. There's no game there, and I spent real world money on that.
Well, it's not
like it is a game where you build your own virtual Springfield, right? And you can buy like Simpsons characters and stuff, and it gives you in-game currency. But not enough to really buy the stuff that you
right?
need.
Right?
And like my friends and I were like massive into it. And he had a much better Springfield than I did. And it made me, and I found it was Spiral. And I spent like 200 quid on this stupid game. Before I realized like, why am I doing this? I have fallen into their trap. Because this is what they do. They make a game where you don't get everything in the game. So you have to spend real world money in order to get the thing. It's a horrible, horrible system. What's worse is that it's now in like, so if you buy $60 games, like brand new like games, they all have that same thing now as well, where they've taken like mobile functionality of just like, well, we'll give you this amount of experience, but if you really want to level up quicker, you've got to pay us some real world money and then you'll like level up quicker.
God.
It's a horrible business con. It's a con. Absolutely. It's daylight robbery.
It's working. Like, I'm not going to stop playing this game unless someone comes and uninstalls this dang game from me. Like, I've been thinking about just uninstalling it. This is why I do not download mobile games, because then I get addicted. And right now I'm currently addicted in these design home people. I'm spending money on designing virtual homes when I could be saving that money for my future home and buying actual real furniture.
In the mobile gaming world, you're a whale. That's what they call you.
Oh, you taught me this. I remember you taught me this.
You're the people that they want. Basically, people like me, dumb idiots that will spend real world money on pointless crap that doesn't actually need to work. I can spend that money on some actual real world stuff.
I'm a big fat whale. I'm a big fat whale. They are just taking my little money.
Made me so angry. I'm hot now. I'm actually.
I know, and I don't even know when my cream or my magazines are coming. And you know, I almost bought. You know what I almost bought because they were having like double points. I almost bought. Oh, I forgot what's the word. I forgot what the word is for. Oh my gosh, when something's like good for the earth, they were underwear that are apparently good for the world. So like if you buy them and let's say you throw them out, biodegradable or something like that.
Biodegradable, yeah, that sounds about right. So it's okay. Just like, you know, single use underwear. Is that what you're buying now?
I don't even know if it was single use or what, but apparently like it's good for the earth. And I was like, all right, I might buy this because they were cool.
Need a sofa
because I was trying to find things that I might actually use so that I could get diamonds.
Oh my god, it makes me so mad. I need to move on. My answer to that question though is I like new metal music, and no one likes new metal music genuinely. Like, a lot of people hate new metal music, but there's a part of me, there's this 14 year old boy inside of me that was there when it was popular who's just like, no, it's still good. It's still good. Korn is still good. I like new metal music, but it's not like, I'm also the guy that like Vanilla Ice's metal stuff. I like Vanilla Ice anyway, because I think like Vanilla Ice is great, right? But like Vanilla Ice, when you
Ice Baby.
Oh, of course he is. That's to the extreme. I rock a mic like a vandal, light up the stage, max jump like a candle, dance. I love Vanilla Ice. I could go on. But he did like a new metal turn for a little while. It was so crap, but I love it.
Amazing. what are you saying?
That is that's my karaoke song of choice, is to do Ice Ice Baby, usually because I just don't need the screen, so I can just then like, and then, you know, it's a stupid little party piece that, yeah, for whatever reason I know the words to Ice Ice Baby. They're just locked in my head and they will never leave.
See, I don't know the song, I just know the parts when he goes Ice Ice Baby. That's it.
To go. Anyway, Forrest says, hey there, Luke and Denise. I've got a fun question, multi-part for you two. Firstly, though I'm sure you've already answered this one, who is a wrestler you will always pop for? What's your favorite version of that character? And what is that wrestler's highest and lowest moments? So is there a wrestler you will always pop for?
Yeah, and you can take care of the low moments because you hate this person. I know you hate this person. It's Triple H. I will always pop for Triple H, no matter what. always I'm a fan, so
dude, it's fine. Like, I was worked by Triple H. That's why I've got, like, you know, that 14 year old boy I was just talking about that was massively into metal music, that 14 year old boy still lives in there being like, damn, you Triple H, no, The Rock's the best, you're smelly, I don't like you and you suck, because he was the heel and I was being worked. So that's why, like, I'll always have this like, oh no, Triple H.
See, I always saw him as a cool guy though, so I don't know why, to me he was always cool. Like, I never saw him as like a heel. Even when he was a heel, he was a cool heel to me.
Oh no, he was certainly not The Rock levels of cool. Mine's Jeff Hardy. Like, I will always be a mark for Jeff Hardy. Like, I don't know why, I don't know what it is, because I say like that now, but like, you know, the question was who you always pop for. But when Jeff Hardy's announced for Raw, I don't go like, oh cool. I just go like, yeah, you know, Jeff's on Raw, I guess. Like, so maybe the Jeff shine has gone.
The answer though. Because you would pop for him even getting beat by Elias every week on Raw.
I know, yeah, and I don't need to see that anymore. And throwing piss in Sheamus's face. See, maybe Jeff Hardy isn't my answer. I don't know who mine is then.
He was your answer.
He was my answer, yeah. The Rock, like when The Rock came back, like I was one of those people that were blind to all the criticisms against The Rock when he came back for like 2013.
Me too, yeah.
I was just like, no, it's The Rock. He's still good. He's still great. And yeah, I think looking back on it now, I'm like, wasn't that good, but it's still The Rock, so I liked it.
Dude, The Rock's The Rock to me. Like, in my opinion, like, he can come out whenever the hell he wants, do whatever he wants, and I'm gonna be excited about it.
Owen asks, out of the three options, which one would you want to live through? A year-long heel Miz WWE title reign, a year-long Shane McMahon WWE title reign, or Jeff Jarrett's reign of terror in the mid-2000s? I will tell you this now, Owen, I did live through Jeff Jarrett's reign of terror in the mid-2000s. It's probably the one I would still pick.
I would rather, I don't know, shave my eyebrows off than live through 1 year of the Miz as a champion. I don't know. That would be terrible. I would have to pick Jeff Jarrett as well. Like, for me, and if not the Shane McMahon thing.
And a lot of people in the chat have been like, why haven't I picked Raven as my wrestler? Well, Raven's my favorite wrestler. Like, yeah, I'm always going to pop for him, but that seems like the obvious answer. Like, the question was not like, who's your favorite wrestler? It's who's the wrestler you always pop for? And like, to me, that's always, I think those two are separate things. Raven is just my favorite wrestler ever.
You've met Raven, haven't you?
I've never met Raven, no.
You've never met Raven?
I've never met him, no. I've never actually seen him wrestle live either.
Luke, that's just sad. You know, I've emailed with Raven.
Have you really?
I've emailed with Raven, yeah, when we were setting up that interview. And then, like, when we did our interview, like, he gave me advice afterwards. Like, even after, like, the interview, he, like, chatted with me. And I was like, But I didn't know you then, so sorry.
He's great. Finn Brennan says, I went to an OTT show a couple of years ago and saw a match that featured an Irish wrestler named Liam Royal. I was blown away by him. He had the whole package. He was intense, charismatic, tall, muscular, a great look, and was great in ring. As I watched him wrestle, all I was thinking was, man, Vince McMahon would love this guy. But less than a year later, he announced that he was retiring from wrestling. So my question is, are there any wrestlers you've seen on the independent scene that you thought would be in WWE one day, but then stepped away from the business prematurely, not due to injury? I actually don't have an answer for this one, because most of the guys that I've seen, I'd be like, oh yeah, they'd be wicked in WWE, or and haven't gone, or didn't go, or they're still wrestling now. Oh, you've got an answer?
I have an answer. Okay, still wrestling now, but has never gone to WWE, and I think it is a mighty damn shame. Because I freaking love this guy. And this is even before he even was on Impact. Willie Mack. I'm sorry. Yes. There is no one, like, I mean, there's multiple people, but there's, like, no one that can do what he does at his size on their roster right now. I would put him up, like, to me, he is a million times better than Keith Lee. I said it and I stand by that. I mean, if you don't agree with that, that's fine with me, but go back and watch some of that Willie Mack stuff, because that is the guy that if I was trying to decide what show am I going to attend, if he was on the card, I signed up for that show because I thought he was just so dang good. And he is still so dang good. So I'm going to go with Willie Mack. I've always thought he should be in WWE, and I forgot why he wasn't. There was something that I think happened, or some sort of story or rumor or something, but I forget what it is.
I think there's a tag team that I absolutely love that does a lot on the British independent scene called Aussie Open, who are absolutely wicked. Carl Fletcher and Dunkzilla, and they're awesome. I'd love to see them in AEW. I really would, like, because they've got an amazing tag division, and I'd love to see those two, like, tear it up with those guys. So, but they haven't, like, stepped away from the business, which is why I'm actually really struggling with that question to kind of, like, answer it fully. Also, thank you to Mark Jones. He was the chap that sent in his Christian debut fantasy booking. Thank you very much for that. Robert Ray said, I was watching some old WWF pay-per-views, and I was watching SummerSlam 1995 with Isaac Yankem versus Bret Hart. It got me thinking, is there anyone now that can do what Glenn Jacobs did, which is wearing a mask on TV and then, like, being a new character, and there's a mystery of who it is behind the mask? I mean, Robert kind of points this out in the rest of his question, but with the social media now, I think it's impossible, because we've literally just seen it happen with Retribution. Like, they put masks on them and everyone's like, yeah, I know, but I know who that is. Like, that's Dominic Dijakovic, that's Mia Yim, that's Shane Thorne. I think in the age of social media now, I don't know if you could have, like, an Isaac Yankem situation.
So maybe not the exact situation, but I actually think there should be more masked wrestlers, because let's be real. Some guys just do not have the charisma to, like, be a larger-than-life superstar, and we've seen them, okay? I feel the mask can definitely help out so many people who are just, let's face it, generic. So I would actually like more mask wrestlers. I don't care if I know who they are. I actually just, but if they embrace it and it's, and I'm not talking retribution because retribution is really not a good example. That's not fair to this argument. Okay. I need like a legit good person to say like this, like more masked wrestlers, because everybody is starting to look exactly the dang same. All right. So you know what? I'm all for it. More masked wrestlers, bring more mystery. Don't be generic. Stand out from the crowd. I think the mask definitely do it for a lot of people.
Marcus Sol Campbell, what are your expectations for Moose versus Rich Swann at Sacrifice this weekend?
I think a lot of people are expecting Moose to win. I think I am too, but Rich Swann is literally one of my favorite competitors to watch. I mean, his match with Eric Young last year was my match of the year. So anytime I get to see Rich Swann wrestle, I'm good. I kind of still want to see him as champion. So my pick's still Rich.
Yeah, I've got Rich Swann to win as well, particularly because you've already set up the stuff with him and Kenny. Like, you know, whoever wins, they're going to face Kenny Omega at Rebellion. So I think it's got to be a Rich Swann win. You did the tag match earlier this year. You had like the stuff with the bus and everything. I think the story is already there for him and Kenny. So I would have Rich win here, unify the titles, and then go on to face him at Rebellion.
And the card for Sacrifice is actually looking pretty good. Like I was just looking at that the other day because I was preparing for an interview with Jazz. And I was like, damn, I was like, this card's looking pretty damn good. Like on paper, it looks really good.
I'll use this as a nice little segue, actually, because we're reviewing WrestleMania 19 for the Patreon podcast Wrestle Talk Extra next week. And Jazz is on that card. And I keep forgetting this because WrestleMania 19 is a show I've only actually watched through once in the past. I've watched like matches here and there, but from start to end, I've only ever watched it once. And yeah, Jazz is on that card in a triple threat with Victoria and Trish Stratus. And it's actually a pretty decent little match. And she's awesome in it as well. Like she was really, really cool. So it's so awesome seeing her back.
Yeah, I think she was definitely, I mean, you can say this about so many of the women because they didn't get the proper opportunities, but I think she was one of those people that was like wrong era. Like how she came out right now with her exact same persona, I think she would have been someone really cool.
Josh says WrestleMania 19 won this month's Patreon poll. It got me thinking about that low blow that Chris Jericho hit on Shawn Michaels at the end of the match and how it happened. And I was like, dang, it really got me. He shouldn't have done it, but he did. Have you ever had a moment which you genuinely did not see coming?
A million. I can't even think of it now. There's so many. Like everything in the history of wrestling that's happened, I never saw coming. I'm not that person that I'm like, oh, I expect this to happen. No.
Yeah. Oh, dude, on Wednesday night with Dynamite, like I did not see that MJF new heel faction coming.
Oh, no.
I did not see it coming at all.
No, it was just like swerve after swerve after swerve. I love that. That was, I mean, like a lot of twists and turns. I like that. That was fun.
Chris says, with Daniel Bryan saying this run will be his last, who do you think should be the one to beat him? Or do you think that he should go over and finish his full-time career on a win?
Go over, have a win. He deserves it.
You reckon?
Yeah. Unless there's nobody that I'm like, oh, they should be Daniel Bryan. There's nobody right now either.
I think that's the thing is like, there's no one at the moment where I'm like, yeah, like you say, that there isn't like who Daniel Bryan should be feuding with at the moment. Because I'd have said Chad Gable, but like Chad's a guy that they have just like pushed so far into the ground that like I'm past Chad in WWE, unfortunately. Like he is one of those guys where I'm like, I'm beyond it now. Like I'm struggling to care about what they're going to do with Chad Gable next because I've had my heart hurt too many times over Chad Gable. So I can't even get excited about the idea of doing a Chad Daniel Bryan feud because I don't think it would ever be taken seriously.
No, I mean, they would have to do some serious rebranding on Chad Gable for sure. I honestly think that the only thing that can save Chad Gable at the moment is to get him on NXT and put him up in matches against whoever. And that would be the way to kind of like with Breezango, you know, like they were seen as like a silly, like dancers, you know, for a very long time. Then they got to NXT and they were able to show a different side of themselves. I think that would be something that they could do with Chad Gable. And actually, because he's a dang Olympian, so they can definitely do that. He have no issues putting these amazing matches together.
Oh, man, yeah. NXT is a great place for him. Also, AEW. Duncan J said, Paul White's new shirt for AEW, do you think that he has the worst merchandise ever? I can't think of one good shirt he's ever had. I like Paul White's new shirt. That's the first person I've ever said who doesn't like his shirt in AEW, the No More BS thing. I thought it was quite clever, actually. I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was very clever. No more BS. Because I was like, oh, I get it. Oh.
I get it, right? I get that reference.
I'm sorry. Everybody got it. So you know what? I like it.
Yeah, no, dude, I really liked it. I thought it was a cool t-shirt. I mean, like, China had some terrible merchandise in the 90s. Do you remember that t-shirt that she had that said "For China" on it?
Because, no, you know, I don't remember.
She is a woman, so she has a vagina, but her name is China. So we've written "For China."
For China, like FA?
Yeah, no, it was VA. As in, so it's like
Va China?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to Google this one second because I was always a really big like China fan, but for some reason, like my mom never really let me like buy like her merch or anything like that because I was like a little girl and I don't know. I think she thought it was like, this one. Yes. You know what? I'd seen her wear this like so many times, but I don't ever think I actually read the words. And also I was a kid, so I didn't know about vagina. Okay. I was unaware. It's like one of those things where, you know, you watch a show when you were a kid, but you don't actually get it until you're an adult. So for China.
Yeah, it was bad. Also, the APA's one of always pounding ass. Like, it's not a good shirt.
There was a lot of things that are just coming now into existence where I'm like, oh
also, like, I mean, I would honestly say pretty much 99% of WWE's merchandise now is terrible. Like, it's just like the laziest merchandise. Like, you know, it's like Sami Zayn, I'm the Intercontinental Champion. There was more design in that than a lot of WWE stars, like t-shirts designs. They're so bad.
Yeah. You know what I actually did? I wish they did more like clothing, like regular clothing instead of t-shirts where you can wear like maybe like a casual, I don't know, blouse that could have like a little pocket. I don't know. I'm thinking like outside the box, but I wish that they would switch up their merch and make it more like something that you can wear. Not make it too obvious that it's like, I would like two different things. One, I would like, you know, merchandise that's not too obvious that you're a wrestling fan. And then stuff that is very obvious so that I can wear those to events and then wear the other stuff in my daily life. And I could go to the market without having someone's giant face on my shirt.
I accidentally went out with my t-shirt on that's got my face on it. I went down to the shop. I didn't realize I was wearing the t-shirt because I was wearing it like on a video that I did here. Finished it up, did the podcast and everything. And I just said to my wife, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to quit nip to the shops and pick something up. Just walked down there. Didn't think about it at all until I was standing there in the queue. And I looked down, I was like, I've got my own face on my t-shirt. And like,
and people are going to be like, this guy.
Right? I know.
So because, much.
Exactly. Because no one knows who I am. Like, no one knows that I do this. Like, I'm a nobody. And I'm just walking around, like, oh, by the way, I've also got my own face. And I look like Steve Austin, right? And like, I'm wearing my own face on my own t-shirt. And I was like, I was wearing a cardigan. I was trying to like cover my cardigan up so I covered up my face to no avail.
So I will tell you how embarrassing that is, actually, because, okay, Taylor's like the biggest star, right? She gets people make so much fun, like the fans, they make fun of her because she wears her own merch all the time. And I'm like, all right, if Taylor can't get away with wearing her own merch all the time, I don't think anybody can get away with wearing their merch. It looks funny.
Callum says, in your opinion, what's the best cliffhanger in a TV show? Here's a shocker for you from a Callum email. For me, it's the end of season 3 of Lost when they revealed it's a flash forward instead of a flashback. Of course, Callum was always going to put over Lost there as his favorite show. But yeah, well, your favorite cliffhanger in a TV show?
God, I don't know. There's so many. I can't think right now of where, and I was just genuinely like,
maybe it's recency bias. And obviously, I'm not going to say what it is because, you know, still people are catching up with it. But I'm also going to say is that WandaVision reveal, right? Right, guys? That cliffhanger on WandaVision, you know the one I'm talking about. That cliffhanger, that was the one where I was like a proper like, and I was texting friends, and I never do that after TV shows, texting friends being like, what does this mean? And I was texting like Alex, Queen of the Ring, being like, what does this mean? So yeah, for me, like, that is, maybe it is recency bias, but I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about.
I'm still not interested.
I know you're not. Daniel McAvoy says, with Ali getting a US title shot on Monday against Riddle, wanted to get your input on the rest of Retribution. Is there any way WWE can salvage their careers to be productive on Raw?
Yes, I think I still think there's, you know what, give them maybe a couple more months. After this, if they do not do anything within those months, they're done.
Toxic Dogma was wondering what your thoughts were on Progress moving over to the network for what seems to be a regular show. Do you think it's a smart business move, or will it hinder them in the long run? I'll be honest, like, no one watches NXT UK, so I can't imagine there are like other people who are like watching Progress as well. Like, I can't even begin to think there are people who are doing that, right?
I don't watch either right now. It's just, it would be way too much for me at this point.
And to be honest, I think there's a lot more controversy surrounding Progress outside of them being on the network. So I think they probably want to address those issues first before, like, but yeah, I don't think it's going to like, yeah, I mean, no one watches NXT UK, so I don't think it's going to like do any better for them.
I was going to say, if you don't watch NXT UK, I don't got to watch NXT UK.
I ain't watching it, dude. Chris Lil says, I want to know if you think that homegrown stars from WWE get a harder time than other talent by the wrestling community. People like Alexa Bliss, Baron Corbin, The Miz, Charlotte, Roman seem to get harsher comments. What do you think? With WWE lifers like Paul White moving over, which homegrown talent do you think would fit well in AEW? Yeah, like, I mean, so Chris is, he's left a few messages like this in the Patreon community about, like, you know, bad-mouthing homegrown talent in WWE, but I don't think people get, like, Alexa Bliss doesn't get any bad, like, a bad rep. People love Alexa Bliss. People love Charlotte Flair. And, you know, and, like, Roman Reigns is, like, the most over guy at the moment. So I don't think that they get it harsher. It's, if anything, it's usually just the booking around them is what gets criticized.
Yeah, I think everybody at some point is going to face their fair share of negative comments. I think it just comes with the territory.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I mean, like, Baron Corbin, I think, is a very, very solid mid-card heel. The problem is that he was pushed into a main event position.
Yeah, yeah. I've been guilty of being like, oh, this sucks for Baron Corbin. I've been guilty of those rants. Guilty.
Yeah. And you know what? I would love to see The Miz in AEW, because I'd love to see that.
No,
and
I
want to see if he could do it. Like, I think that would be a see if he could do it.
You know what? You know, when people say like, oh, they just hire all ex-WWE superstars. And then for the most part, you know, I try to, you know, add a little bit of defense. I can't defend that. I'm out. I can't defend that, Luke. Do not put that out there in existence. But I don't know.
No,
I think
right.
He's going to be WWE for life. Like, he just has, he's so built, you know, outside of, you know, just, you know, what he does every week. He built a little empire for himself. So kudos to him. You know, he has his show. He was a co-host. I don't even know if his other show still even a thing. The
Miz and Mrs.
Not the Miz and Mrs. The other one that he was hosting, the Wipeout.
Oh, the Wipeout one. I have no idea.
I haven't heard about it anymore.
Lose clue if that is or not.
It's because all these shows, like, they come about and then they just don't make it.
I will say as well, we don't get them here, so like, I don't know if you guys continue with it. So I've no
well,
idea.
Well, I don't know. I'll look into that afterwards, or maybe someone will find out. I don't know.
Dr. Sophia Bonilla, DWO EVP. After watching Quizzlemania, we know that Denise has the voice of a freaking angel. Denise.
You're the only person who thinks that. My fiance doesn't even let me sing. He hates when I sing.
Who in AEW would you like to see get Taylor Swift as an entrance theme? And for Luke, since everything is coming up Milhouse, who in AEW would you like to see get a Finger 11 old school new metal theme?
Ooh, I love Finger 11. That Kane song,
wonderful stuff. It's all throat singing. Oh, thanks.
I can't do the throat singing. Okay, you know what? Country Taylor can probably add some lyrics to that Hangman song.
Oh yes, that's a great shout. That'd be awesome.
Then, I'm trying to think of who else would be good. Like, maybe she could do like a different version of a song for an AEW. Yeah, she could probably do something for anybody. She can do like a bunch of stuff. I'm trying to think.
Multi-talented.
Be like a really I'll think about this but Country Taylor could do something for Hangman.
Yeah, my answer for an old school new metal theme, I'd love to see like Butcher and Blade get like an old school new metal theme. Because I think like they're soundtracked by Butcher's band. So like you'd have to go like, so I think they're a bad choice for that reason. But at the same time, I look at them and be like, or like the original version of the Dark Order when they were like, you know, spooky perverts. I think they would like have a really good, they have like a great like, new metal theme. Abby Goodemiller said, scrolling through Twitter and this thread caught my eye. When you look at the numbers, long story short, in the month of September, the combined viewers for Dynamite and NXT, including Dynamite's late night show that month, beat out the total viewers for Raw by almost 1.3 million. Of course, there's a crossover of viewers between Wednesday night, so these numbers aren't perfect, but I found it very interesting because AEW and or NXT are actually bringing in new viewers to wrestling. In fact, they are both only 100K shorter on SmackDown's total viewers. What do you think?
Wednesdays is the most exciting week in wrestling by far, and that includes Fridays too. Wednesdays is very, very exciting because you just, I mean, Wednesdays for me flies by. I swear, two-hour shows, which equals 4 hours, feel like 10 minutes.
It's wonderful. Oh my God, Fightful is in the chat. Hold on, where is he? If you want to give someone your 11th finger, check out Blue Chew code Fightful.
Boo. I don't know why I feel the need to boo. You know, I think this is the first time Sean's ever watching our show. And now I'm upset. I don't know. Just watch our show.
This is his first time. I mean, I don't know. Sean doesn't message me being like, oh, I watched your show and it was really good, even though I listen to your guys' podcast.
Never messages me and tells me that either.
But you know what? I will say, like, I listen to your review every single Tuesday morning. Like, that's my Tuesday morning routine is when I'm having my breakfast, I listen to your Raw review with Sean. But I don't message you and Sean being like, oh, I listened to your podcast and it was really good. So maybe Sean does watch. And he just doesn't tell us.
No, I don't think he does.
But from now on, maybe I will.
Now he has to prove us wrong.
Yeah. Adam Gibbons, I'm very sorry for having to cut your post short. As you can see, we are sort of running over time. But he asks, what's your take on the ex-WWE guy argument within AEW? Is it just WWE marks being anti-AEW or do they have a point?
I think it's a little bit of everybody. I think both sides tried to make the other side, you know, be like the villains. But I'll be real with you. There's some people on both sides that are breaching. Like, there's some comments that I see from WWE fans where I'm like, dude, like, that is just stop. That does not look good. And there's some comments that I see from AEW fans where I'm like, come on, you cannot be like this. So I think it's both sides.
For me, like, it's like, from AEW's perspective, knock it off with the references and stuff. Like, the brass ring ladder match was one of the dumbest things that company has ever done. They were literally fighting over a brass ring because, I don't know if you know this, but Vince McMahon always tells people to reach for the brass ring, but there's actually no brass rings in WWE. So do you know what we did? We've got an actual brass ring for you to grab. Knock it off with that. And it's so Cody as well. Like, knock it off with that crap. It's so bad. Like, I had my one swear on the AEW Revolution live stream, and it was, that ring is effing stupid. It looked so dumb. That's the kind of, and like, you
I
literally
hate it. I mean, it's a little outlandish. It's a little tacky, right? It's like that ugly furniture piece.
Oh, it's so tacky. And also, like, you want to do a War Games match, but you can't call it War Games. So we've called it Blood and Guts, because there was that one time that Vince McMahon on a call said that AEW was just Blood and Guts. So now we've named a match after it. Come. It's a terrible name for a match. It's rubbish. Like, what were you thinking?
And I think they're more along the lines of throwing more shots. Like, even, God, what was it when Moxley recently just told Jericho you'd be jerking off the curtain at the performance center.
I don't think that's quite what he said. It was the Young Bucks as well.
Oh, yeah. Like, there you go. Sorry. It was the Young Bucks.
Jerking off a
there
curtain.
You go. Thank you. Thank you for that correction. So, yeah, it's like little things like that where I'm like, why are
you
laughing?
If you
want
to jerk off a curtain, Fightful, Blue Chew, whatever.
But you get me. Hey, it's 8 a.m. My brain isn't functioning at its normal speed. But anyways, but it's that whole comment, right? Like little things like that where you're just like, all right, cool. We get funny. Ha ha. But yeah, it's something that we do see happen continuously. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Peter Mullins, my question, wrestling or otherwise, what is the longest you've gone without sleep and why? Mine is pretty gruesome. Due to my disability, a tiny nerve canal in my jaw collapsed and it crushed the nerve. It was like a proper drill had gone into my face. After 3 days of the sharpest pain and no sleep, I checked into hospital where they put me to sleep while they fixed it. Sleeping in bed afterwards felt like being on a cloud made of marshmallows and hugs. It was the best. Yeah, what's the longest you've ever gone without sleep?
I don't know how to tell you this, Luke, but Denise Salcedo loves to sleep. I don't know without sleep. I think the proper question is, how long have you ever slept for? And I've done like some good 15, 17 hour sprints.
Some big old sleeps, dude. I love my sleep.
Yes, you need it. That's how you stay young and youthful.
And shaving your head, apparently.
And shaving your head, exactly.
The longest I think I've gone without sleep is my friends and I did a Godzilla marathon where we watched all of the Godzilla movies back to back in one fell swoop. And that's long because that's like, I think like we did just the Showa era at first, and that's 15 movies. So we do, you know, watch 15 movies back to back. That was like over 24 hours to get it all done in one shot. I think maybe something along those lines. Me and my friends used to get together and do a lot of movie marathons like that. The longer, the better. But the 15, we realized that might have been too many films.
I feel like movie marathons are just too much. Look, I don't know how people can do them. Like, I can't do marathons of a movie. Like, I could obviously do, you know, multiple shows of one episodes of one show. But I can't do like, oh, let's sit down and watch part one, part two, part three like that. I've never done that. It's just, it feels like too much for me.
Oh, I love it. Like the Prince Charles Cinema in London is one of my favorite places in the world. They often do movie marathons, like all night movie marathons. We went there, like one of the first ones we did was Friday the 13th, part 1 through 8, back to back. And it was brilliant. It was so good. And then we enjoyed it so much that we went home and watched the other 4 movies that they didn't show. That was a long shift.
Going to shows in London, like a really like popular thing. Like if you're like going to London, like that's something that you do, right?
Yeah, people go to the West End. Yeah, they go to the West End and take in a show. We got a lot of like a city like around Leicester Square, like that one, which is where the West End is, that you would go and watch. Like, you know, there's loads of places to go and watch shows, and they're really good shows as well. Apart from, I mean, like I've been to, you know, various little plays and musical performances in my time. It's a wonderful time to go there.
So I was like, okay, so when I went to London, I was very excited about attending a show. I got my tickets. I got the Wicked tickets to go watch Wicked at some, I don't even know, some place in some theater in London, right? I was so excited, got dressed up, got there, and slept through the entire thing. Oh. So I missed out on my London play experience. I was so jet lagged. I missed the entire thing. It was terrible, Luke. I wanted to, you know, that sleep where you're so sleepy, you want to cry because you can't do anything else other than sleep. I was just knocked out in a theater like with a bunch of strangers. I didn't know anyone there.
Oh, man. Those are expensive tickets as well.
Yeah. No, actually, no. They were like $35.
Oh, that's quite cheap. Yeah,
I think I got like a deal or something because it was like a group thing, but I didn't know anybody there. So it was all a bunch of people I had just met.
I've never seen Wicked.
It wasn't good.
Oh, really?
I was asleep. I don't know anything that happened in Wicked. I can't tell you anything that happened in Wicked.
But you know that it's not good.
It's not good.
Chris Gardner says, with Edge and Jeff Hardy wrestling for WWE and D-Von working there too, Matt Hardy and Christian Cage working at AEW, which of the three big Attitude Era tag teams do you think is doing the most to help the current generation of talent? Also, would you like to see Bully Ray go to AEW just for the symmetry of the whole thing? Just for the symmetry style of things, I'd love to have Bully Ray, Christian, and Matt Hardy stand in the ring like on one show, while on the other show you've got D-Von, Jeff Hardy, and Edge standing there. I'd love that. That'd be amazing.
Isn't that weird though? Like when you think about it, like it's like what? Like someone tell like 14-year-old Luke, like, hey, this isn't gonna always be this
way. Your
favorites are gonna, half of them are gonna be in a rival company. And you're going to be like, what? There's going to be a rival company? What? Yeah.
Like, is that your impression of me at 14-year-old? Like, that's your impression of 14-year-old Luke?
What? No, wait, hold on. What? I gave you an accent. What?
I don't think it's far off, to be honest. But
wait,
yeah,
you don't like my impersonation of 14-year-old?
No, dude, I said I think it's not far off from what I really was like. I mean, I think I sound pretty much like you did now. Like, I think you were pretty much there, spot on. Like, it's just, you know, through a lot of like smoky haze. But I think, yeah, you pretty much got it nailed down there. To answer the question, Chris, I think, like, I don't know, like, who do you think is cultivating younger talent more? Like, is it WWE or is it AEW?
I think they're both doing it in their own respective ways, because on, I know a lot of people say, like, okay, like, obviously on Raw and SmackDown, we're not seeing that, right? But we are seeing that on NXT with a couple of guys, right? Obviously, to not the extent that we're seeing it on AEW, but there is still a lot of young talent in WWE that I feel we're getting to see. There could be more, though. There definitely could be more.
Wesley 65, seeing as my gimmick is slowly turning into that guy who doesn't get AEW, figured I'd turn the wind. While I enjoyed and liked the explanation of Kenny's dud being his shoddy engineering, I think AEW went a bit too far with Kenny and Don acting like they planned it to be a dud, especially after hyping up the match to such an extent. Because what that tells me is to never listen to any hype Kenny tries to build for anything, because he's going to oversell and underdeliver. Why should I buy an AEW pay-per-view if it's just going to be Kenny taking my money, then 69ing it with Don?
All right, so first of all, I feel like this is almost like a relationship, right? Like, you know what, you caught your dude checking out some girl really quickly, now you got to earn that trust back, you know? So it kind of feels like that right now with AEW. I do feel like they got to earn a little bit of the trust back after that, you know, that failure that we got with the explosion. Because it, you know, I said this, you know, on a couple of podcasts now, but I'll say it again, I did not like how Tony Khan basically said, "What did you guys expect?" And I'm like, bro.
Terrible. Right? Terrible, terrible reaction.
That really soured me. I was like, no, really, you can't do that. See, fixing this storyline-wise, I don't think was ever going to be the issue. I think how the company handled it, not storyline-wise, was the issue. And
particularly because, like, it was a fireworks sometimes don't work. Like, act like when you're dealing with live pyro, sometimes that pyro doesn't go off. They'd spent the whole day rehearsing it, and the rehearsals all went fine. They rehearsed it over and over again, and it all went fine. But when it mattered, it didn't work. So, like, you've just got to, like, if you just come out and been honest about it, just be like, yeah, it didn't work. Like, we had done all this throughout the day, and when it mattered, it didn't work. But to then go out and be like, oh, what did you expect to happen? It's like, what you said was going to happen and what you thought was going to happen is what we were expecting to happen. I thought it was a real bad look on Tony to go out there and be like, oh, you guys wanted too much from us.
Yeah. And like this, that was not good. And I agree with you too. I mean, it's so easy to say, hey, again, it was working the whole day. It did it now. And I get it. You know, stuff like that happens. What can you do? But don't try to blame the fans because we were expecting something that was promoted. So that for me really, really soured me. Like, it really did. Or I thought, all right, that's not cool, bro. Like, I was excited for that. I was rooting for you. I didn't want this to fail. Nobody wanted this to fail. Everybody wants to see a gosh darn explosion. All right. At the end of the day, explosions are pretty cool. All right. So, that was pretty much, I like how they handled it storyline wise. I thought it was fine to make fun of themselves. I thought the Eddie Kingston, John Moxley segment that they did on Dynamite was perfectly fine. The way Kenny Omega mocked Eddie Kingston and his anxiety and all of that was perfectly fine too. But it was just really that where I'm like, you're going to have to earn a little bit of my trust back here because I'm a little bit irked there.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say once again, Wesley, I think they're working you, as goes by the end of my end of that point. Matthew Mikowski on that note has said, Kenny saying 69 me, Don, made me laugh my ass off. What is one light in recent memory that made you proper laugh so hard it brought you to tears? Keep up the hard work. We'll be back with more questions next week.
I know there was something on Dynamite a while back. What the hell was it where I couldn't stop laughing about it? Well, apparently it wasn't that funny because I don't remember no more. What's something made me laugh?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is. I'm instantly not going to send the WWE do because they do a lot of bad comedy there. A lot of, you know, which is intentional. It's meant to be intentionally bad comedy. But like the stuff with Matt Riddle, I think is supposed to be intentionally funny, but I'm not finding it funny. So I don't think there's been anything there. There must have been something that has made me laugh. Like this made me laugh my ass off, and people really did not like me doing this, but when Goldberg beat The Fiend at Super Showdown, like the only reaction I had was to laugh, to be like, this company just beat The Fiend when they didn't need to. My reaction was just to laugh at it and be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I just burst into laughter because I was like, what other emotion is there at this point but to laugh at how ridiculous it is? So I guess that's the last time I've
been. I don't think that's a bad reaction. Like, there's times where something you don't agree with is so dumb where you're just like, ha, oh my God, that was so dumb. Like, that's a natural reaction. I don't think there was a problem with your reaction.
Oh, also, and a few people pointing out my hole was that.
Oh, I hated that. I did not laugh at that. I thought it was so dumb. I didn't think it came off as something naturally funny. It felt forced to me. I'm sorry. I did not think that was funny.
I laughed. Alex Kirkman, will WrestleMania ever be held at Wembley Stadium? Probably not. Like, I will never get a WrestleMania over here. Time difference. That's the main reason why, is we'll never get it because of time difference. Like, SummerSlam 92, yeah, it was a big show, but the time difference really hurt the pay-per-view buys over in America. And that's the most important
God,
thing.
Please, so. The Americans.
Exactly. You Americans are the
terrible.
Most you're the most important people.
Ben Green. You, really? Like, we're really ruining your WrestleMania.
I don't think we need a WrestleMania here. I don't think we need a WrestleMania here. Like, if I want to get a WrestleMania, I'll just fly over to the US and go and see it there. Like, if I'm that desperate, yeah, I don't need to come to London. Like, I think that's kind of a lazy attitude on my part to be like, no, you bring WrestleMania here, then I'll go. Like, it's...
Would you prefer to have WrestleMania... Okay, let's just say, like, everything worked out. Would you rather have WrestleMania in London and, you know, go blah, blah, blah? Or would you have WrestleMania somewhere in the States where you can come? Like, what would be more appealing to you?
Traveling. Like, I would much rather go out to America. Like, when it was in New Orleans, that was where I was like, oh, that'd have been really fun to go to. Because that looked like it was a really cool, like the party atmosphere down the street.
I hated New Orleans. It was terrible.
Oh, really? Like, I've never been, so.
It was
but it looked so much fun.
It was dirty, disgusting. And there was a lot of, like, I went down to Bourbon Street and it was the most grossest thing I've ever been to. Just like a bunch of drunk people puking. I saw so many disgusting things. I was not a fan of it whatsoever. And you literally walk and it stinks like piss and vomit. It's so gross. And then they have like no really options for restaurants in terms of like after the show ends. When the show ends, I found it really hard to find some place to eat. Like, I couldn't find places, and all the places that were there were either closed or they had a super long line because all the wrestling fans, that was the only place to eat. And I wasn't interested in the food either. So I'm sorry, I was not a fan of New Orleans. But you know what I did think was interesting though? When I went to WrestleMania in New York, I actually met or came across a lot of people that were from the UK.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. WrestleMania has a massive WrestleMania has a massive traveling crowd from the UK. Massively. Like, the Raw after Mania, like a lot of the Raw after Mania atmosphere is attributed to those traveling fans. It's those British fans that have come over and are taking like our Britishisms of watching wrestling to an American product.
Yes. That was like one of the, like, I came across more like people from the UK than like other people.
The one thing that's really put me off from going is the price is so expensive. Like, if I want to buy tickets to go see Mania and to go see like Raw and SmackDown and NXT, I'm dropping down like thousands of pounds in order to see that. And I'm like, dude, I can spend thousands of pounds on something I'd much rather do. Like, I could have a whole holiday for that and then not have to go watch an 8-hour show. I could just, like, you know, multiple 8-hour shows. I could just go on holiday for 2 weeks.
There's ways around it though, Luke.
Always then. Oh no, Denise, we're not as popular as you are. We're not as like,
there's ways around that. I don't know how else to tell you this. There's ways around it.
Marcel Jura says, first, Denise, have you ever tasted Waldmeister? Secondly, a more important question. We have a lot of workers jumping from AEW to WWE, but who from WWE do you think could jump to AEW? Which is a question we've had several times over, but I think my joking answer has always been Wardlow. Like, Wardlow looks like he belongs in WWE.
Oh, AEW to WWE. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think Wardlow would be a good answer, but I'm not too sure. MJF would be, I don't see it happening, but that would be really good.
Yeah. So Waldmeister, to give you a bit of context to that, is a drink that Marcel sent us from Germany. It's an alcoholic drink, so there's a high likely chance that you've not had it.
But I haven't had it tastes one like here.
name. And it tastes like apples, but Marcel is adamant that it doesn't, but it very much tastes like apples. Where do we get to next? Ben Green, what do you think of WWE adding the NXT tag team titles for the women? Do they sit around thinking, well, we can't come up with any good storylines, let's just add some more?
The way they went about it was terrible. Dakota and Raquel lost a lot of, Raquel especially, because she was one of the best book people, lost a lot of momentum that she had. She lost a lot in this whole winning the Dusty Cup, losing to Nia and Shayna, coming back to get the titles, then losing them the same night. It was just like, decide on one thing and stick with it. This whole back and forth, wasn't a fan of it.
Well, let's go through the rest of your Hyper Chats. Thank you all so much for joining us on this show. It's such a pleasure to have you all here. DJ Desmond says, hey, Danuk, quick story. Used to avoid ranch. I had a girlfriend a few years ago who ate pizza with it. Tried it, and I'm never going back. Pizza, pizza rolls, anything pizza slaps with ranch. Question, will WWE ever be afraid of AEW?
Okay, that was completely... I was like, is this question going to do with WWE and ranch? I was like, where are we going with this? That completely was... That was a swerve. That was a bigger swerve than anything that happened. All right, what was the question? Sorry.
Will WWE ever be afraid of AEW?
We don't know. Time will only tell, right?
I think they already are. Like, I think that's why they're doing, like, that's why they're locking talent down. It's why, because they don't want them going to AEW. They don't want them, like, WWE is always going to be afraid of competition because they want to be the big monolith only company.
I think everybody should be afraid, right? Doesn't everybody want to be number one?
Caleb Maldonado, hope you guys have a wonderful week. Hope you had a great weekend. With current wrestlers across all promotions, what's your ideal dream match?
I feel like I've said this, but I'll say it again. I really want to see Adam Cole versus Hangman Page. And not just the fact that they look alike. You know, I was doing a thumbnail for one of my shows, right? And I put one picture of Hangman Page and one picture of Adam Cole. I was like, if you switch the branding, I was like, they look alike. It's crazy.
I'm going to go with the Usos versus Young Bucks. I'd love to see that match. Poets the Poet. Poet said, I'd love to hear
Hey, Denise's... I'm the third Uso. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, I did. I watched it and I loved it.
Third Uso right here. Tell Wale.
Poet the Poet's Poet. I would love to hear Denise's thoughts on Ollie Davis claiming the moniker of cutest wrestling commentator.
You know what? I'll let him have it because he has that accent that he can't even do, but it's amazing. Okay, is that how he does that? I don't know. I can't.
I mean, it's an, I thought he was in the room with us. said, hey, Denise.
I'm trying to say Luke like Hollywood. How would he say it? Luke, how are you doing, buddy? Oh, wait, how you doing, mate? I don't know.
I don't know that completely works. But,
no, it does
not. Bless you for trying. I thought it was a good attempt.
Thank you.
Johnny R said, I want to say how much I appreciate you two and this Friday show. I've been here since 2016. It's my favorite Wrestle Talk show of the week. Don't tell Ollie. Also, happy 6th Wrestle Talk anniversary, Luke. Thank you so much. Matthew Mikowski says, Ciampa with hair is worse than Luke with hair. Ciampa is so displeasing when he has hair compared to you, Luke. With the WrestleVotes report of everything being up in the air for WrestleMania, what matches would you like to see? Thanks and jam that jam.
I think this WrestleMania is still missing a lot of hype in terms of really feeling like a big feel. Like, there's not a match where I feel genuinely so skyrocket excited for.
Bianca Sasha is the only one for me at the moment.
I don't think they've built it up enough.
Once we can push Reginald to one side, because that's really hurting a lot of my hype that I've got for the match, because I could do like, oh man, Reginald's now on both shows. Like,
oh, Reginald's. Reginald's doing, I don't know what, I mean, I'm not really feeling him, but
no one likes Reginald.
He was liked in the beginning, I feel, and then everybody loved that match he had with Sasha Banks, and then it went downhill from there. Oh, poor guy.
Gabriel Caruso, can't believe I've been watching Luke Cohen for 5 years, one of the best wrestling YouTubers out there. Thank you so much. It's very, very kind of you to say. I'm really not, though. Derek Kelson, Denise, I think the intro music to the stream reminds me of an 80s workout video. Thanks for Luke and the Rest Talk team for always providing entertainment. Love you all.
Let's get physical. Physical.
Physical.
I want to get physical.
Oh, banging tune.
That should be our new intro.
I like it. Dartrain says, Denise is the cutest wrestling personality in the world. She should take on Mr. Davis for that title. It's a title that can only be held by people who knows that ranch goes with pizza.
Exactly.
Michael Dominguez says, COVID cancelled my London Paris trip and meeting the WrestleTalk crew and making them some Mexican food. Bigelo y Fiado. I'm sorry, I don't know how to say that. Maybe when I reschedule you, I can show you how to make some good Mexican food since you're from California. You all gave us Del Taco and Texas gave us Tex-Mex. Zach, sorry, go on.
Oh, California Mexican food is the best. I'll just leave it at that.
I have heard as much. Zach Robinson, given Moxley and Kingston's promo on Dynamite, were you to go back and rewatch the match Revolution, do you think the finish would be improved or would you still be disappointed?
Still be disappointed. It's something that I hate to say, it's going to go down in history. People are always going to remember that.
Oh, yeah. The match I thought was awesome. Like, I think Meltzer's got it right in his review of it, where it was like, it was a 4.5-star match, like up until that thing. Because even like the finish I thought was great. Like the match from bell to bell, 4.5 stars, absolutely spot on. I loved it. But yep, that ending of the show completely overshadows everything. And I can't go back and rewatch the match.
The stipulation definitely ruined it. They should have just not done the stipulation and just had this match.
Kevin, I don't know if you've covered this, but what are your thoughts on the NXT Women's Championships? Yep, we've just talked about that. Zach Robinson, message for Denise. I sent a YouTube link on Instagram to WrestleTalk of a professional chef, Gordon Ramsay, confirming that ranch does not belong on pizza. It's a kitchen
nightmare. What does he know?
I was going to say, what does
Gordon Ramsay?
It's from a Kitchen Nightmares episode a few years back. I've just wondered how it felt to be so wrong.
You know, I'm tired of all these fancy people with their fancy food claiming what we should all eat. You know what? Gordon Ramsay can suck it, all right? Pizza with ranch is fantastic. What does he know? Oh my gosh. Imagine Gordon Ramsay responds to me.
could you imagine? I'm going to share this out on Twitter and be like,
Denise Salcedo starts feud with Gordon Ramsay. He has a ton of followers. They might take me seriously and rip me to shreds.
He's got a brand new show here in the UK. He's a quiz show host. He's a quiz show host here in the UK now.
And, oh, wow.
He's got the show's called Bank Balance. And it's like a balance. It's like this four-way balance beam thing where you get like answer questions and you earn like these bricks and you're going to balance it on the beam without them all falling over. It's a literal bank balance. And it's quite rubbish. It's pretty awful.
Some of these shows that they come up with. You know, I watched the Go Big show.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
I didn't like it. No, I didn't like the way that they decide who stays and who goes. The lever, it's really dumb.
Oh, yeah, that sounds a bit gimmicky. Having said that, I've saw my first ever clip of the Masked Singer this week with the Kermit reveal. That was genuinely quite wonderful. I even showed my wife it. I was like, look, this is quite funny.
Oh, I've been wanting to watch that show, actually, but I haven't really given it a chance. I might.
Andrew says, are we going to get a cameo from Blamplate?
Oh, Blamplate's sleeping in right now. Blamplate's asleep. If you guys want him to come, you can read the next question. I'll wake him up. I'll be back.
All right. Josh, I said, I like Denise's take on wrestlers not being generic by wearing masks. Luchasaurus without the mask looks like another Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, but the mask and character, along with his moveset, sets him apart from the rest of the roster. He's also a handsome dude, Luchasaurus. Hey, Carol, love to see you there. Says, I hope you're both well. So glad you decided to do the magazine show live. It's more fun with the chats this way. Giving my donation to say a special happy anniversary to the man that I love the most, CM Chris. I love you so very, very much. Oh, it's so lovely to see you two together. It genuinely makes me happy. Issa Myth says, the question about Gable got me thinking about the NXT tag teams. There he is, guys.
He's here. He's a little upset, though, that he had to wake up so early because, you know, he's getting his Hollywood beauty sleep since he's starring in a big movie with Forky. He's got to get his rest, you know, all of that. So, yeah, here we go. Adam Blamplate is here.
Right. Sorry, we've got two more things here. Ismith says, got me thinking about NXT tag teams that WWE have ruined. Ascension, AOP, Enzo and Cass, American Alpha, Vaude Villains, Revival, Heavy Machinery, Sanity, Billy and Payton. Just look how many there are. Oh, it's a terrible list. And lastly, Derek says, Luke, is there any chance we can get a Get Rowdy again to motivate my day? We haven't busted out the Get Rowdy in a while because people really turned on it and everyone started to really hate on me for doing it. But this one time... Oh, I'll get rowdy with Louis Dangor. And he said, do you think that Sting will ever be a champion in AEW?
I don't think he needs to be, so no.
He does not need to be. But you know what we need to be? Out of here, because that is all we've got time for this edition of the show. Thank you all so much for watching. You got any big plans for this weekend that isn't just, you know, putting sofas into your fantasy virtual living room things?
I can't even afford it. I'm running out of diamonds on that. Isn't that messed up? Like, that's really messed up. Okay, so the Grammys are this Sunday. So,
oh, are they really?
Yeah. So I'm literally tuning in just to see Taylor, of course. So I'll be watching the Grammys on Sunday. Saturday, I don't have anything going on Saturday. So I'll probably just relax.
Is Taylor nominated for something?
She's nominated for 6 Grammys and is performing. Wow. So baby girl gonna be on fire. So I'll probably be doing some reaction videos or something. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
What 6 Grammys is she up for?
She's up for like a bunch. Like she's literally up for, I think, like best album, like best vote, like best record, a bunch of stuff.
Is your jumper you're wearing as well Taylor Swift inspired?
Of course. I'm actually in my pajamas, so... I did the entire show in my pajamas. But to be fair, my pajamas are regular day clothes, so they're not really pajamas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can tell, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm wearing jogging bottoms right now, but they're actually pajama bottoms. But they look like jogging bottoms. So I've actually just repurposed them. I don't sleep in them anymore. I've taken them out of my pajama drawer, and I've just put them into my everyday wear drawer. They're now just jogging bottoms that I wear.
It happens. It happens just like that. Do you have any plans this weekend?
No, do you know what? We built the bed last weekend that's in our master suite, but we haven't moved into the master suite because we're getting the wardrobes in there first. But now that I've built a bed, I don't have a project. And so now the weekend's empty.
Are you going to do a house tour when you're all done? Like let people into your house?
Oh, absolutely.
Like virtually, virtually. Like do like
well, a I'll show friends. I'll certainly show friends and stuff. Like I'll take friends on a virtual tour around the place. I don't know.
No,
if I'll
I meant like on YouTube, one. Like a public one.
I don't think so. Like I don't think people are that interested.
Oh yeah. I can't wait to do one when I get my first apartment and I decorate it all with stuff I like. Can't wait to do that tour, like a tour video.
You get all your diamonds and you gotta go and buy your sofas with diamonds and stuff.
Yeah, with my little diamonds, I'm gonna show up. I did 3 room tours on YouTube that are up, but my room changes all the time. So they're they need to be updated, but I'm not gonna do another one until I get my first apartment, which is hopefully soon.
Really
I've been saving.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's so exciting.
I know. And I don't know, depending on what pans out in the next month or so. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Is it going to be because I don't know whereabouts you are in California, but is it still close to where you are?
I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing or where I'm going to be living or what actually just yet. Like all of that stuff is TB determined.
TB determined. That's good.
To be determined. TBA. I was going to say TBA, TBD, and then I said to be determined. There's just too many. Card subject to change.
To change. We get our dining table this week as well.
Oh, nice.
So we're so excited because we've never had a dining table together. Our last place was not big enough for a dining table. So now we're actually going to have one. So we can eat dinner around a table. And we're genuinely so excited by the idea.
That's a game changer right there.
Oh. Isn't it though? I'm so excited for it.
You should have hyped that up, man. You should have put out a press release. This is happening. We're gonna eat at a dining table.
We've been waiting 3 months for it to be delivered. Three months for it to be delivered. Apparently, that's how long dining tables take to be sent. We've been waiting a long time. I cannot wait. It's genuinely so exciting.
That's good. That's really good. I'm excited for you.
apart from that, I've got nothing on, dude. Like, absolutely diddly dick. There's nothing going on at the moment.
I know, right? You know, though, it is getting crazy here because, like, things are feeling like they're starting to, like, I think they're going to start opening up a lot of stuff. I heard that. So this weekend, we're supposed to be getting our stimulus check, which is $1,400. Mm-hmm. That's happening. And then apparently, I forgot when they said they're going to start opening indoor dining and movie theaters here, which I'm a little bit scared about, but they're going to do that. I'm probably not going to take part in this, but until I feel okay to take part in this, but that's happening. And then they also announced that by like May 1st, every adult in the United States will be able to get
vaccine. That. Yeah.
That's so I'm thinking, okay, things are going good. And now I'm thinking, should I have postponed my wedding? Jesus Christ. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole right now.
Oh, no. Like, yeah, I saw that on the news this morning. I was going to message you about it. But yeah, like May's great. Like, that's a really, really great time frame. Because apparently we might even get a vaccine. We all thought that our vaccinations for like the 30 category will be September. But apparently now they say, oh, yeah, we might get you done by April.
Like, that's amazing.
Like, my first dose by April. That's nuts.
That's amazing. I really hope that they definitely speed up the process worldwide.
Yeah, I know, right? I need to do stuff. I want to go out to a restaurant. I want to go eat some food at a fancy restaurant. Yeah. I want to go to a pub. Like, that's the thing I really want to do is I want to go to a proper pub, have a proper pint, and go and like hang out with my friends and just like put the world to rights, which is what we usually do, which is usually talk about Marvel movies and have some pints and it'll be bloody brilliant. And I'm really super excited about it. And
maybe being
able to play D&D in person, which I think will be really good. We've been playing D&D online now for a year and it's not the same.
No, it's not the same. So many stuff is not the same, but what can you, you know what? We did well, I think though.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I mean, we are nearing. So I think this week is our 1 year anniversary of WrestleTalk working from home. So because we started our working from home before the country locked down because we'd heard that the country
was getting locked down after the US.
Oh, no. So, yeah. So our first lockdown was the end of March, just before the end of March.
Ours was on the 10th, 11th.
So like, of March, like, and then that was like, everyone stays at home, all the shops have shut and everything.
Mm-hmm. That started like the 10th, 11th was when, I think that was when they shut, like the NBA thing went down. And that was that, I think it was all over the news. Like everybody was celebrating like the 1 year thing.
Yeah. Well, we were so slow to shut down. Like there's the one thing our government's very been heavily criticized on. We were very late to shut down everything down, but we shut down just before my wife's birthday. Because we had plans, we were going to go to a restaurant and stuff, and then we had to do. I brought the restaurant to her. I recreated the menu at home and I cooked her anything that she wanted. I got dressed up in a little waiter's suit and set her up for our own little personal restaurant.
You dressed up too? Yeah. Wow, that is amazing. That's really nice.
So yes, yeah, so we're like we've just passed 1 year of WrestleTalk being from home, and it feels weird. Like, and I don't know what an office is anymore.
Do you guys still have a physical office, like at a physical address?
Yeah, physical address.
You guys had to pay rent this whole year, even though you weren't using it?
Yeah, well, we were in a contract. So like we've had to like pay rent and stuff.
Did they at least give you guys a discount?
I mean, Ollie runs that side of things. But I think like everything has been fine. But like we're downsizing it because like Laurie now doesn't live in London anymore. I'm not in London anymore. So we're kind of downsizing our office a little bit. So we don't need the huge office space that we had for Evolves to go there. So we've got a much smaller place now, but we're still keeping our studio that we had.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you guys still going to, like, do you think you'll still be using your studio like once you're able to?
Oh, yeah. Like I'll be going into it. Like I'll be going in like 2 days a week to do the Raw and AEW podcasts. And that'll probably be like my working week there. And then the rest of the time I'll be working from home. That's the plan.
Wow. Isn't that crazy how much has changed?
Yeah. Which is great because it's super expensive for me to get into London where I live now. It's like £700 a month. Ain't no one got time for that. Like that's too much money.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. That's really crazy.
Yeah. But anyway, right. Let's get out of here. You need to go. You've got a busy day ahead of you and you've got a lot of stuff on. I don't want to take up too much time of your day. But we will be back next week. Of course, we'll be back next week for the magazine show. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.